Welcome to NinjaCast, a photography podcast powered by Studio Ninja, the world's highest rated business management app built specifically for photographers. Listen and learn as the most successful photographers on the planet share their knowledge to help you transform every element of your photography business. Here's your host, Sally Shaw.
Hi guys, welcome to another episode of NinjaCast. Today I am joined by the wonderful Stacey Owen. I'm really, really excited for today. Stacey is an absolute marketing guru. She is founder of Pepper, a creative marketing agency for small businesses and entrepreneurs. So anything she doesn't know isn't worth knowing. Let's get started. Hey Stacey, how are you?
I'm amazing. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you so much for carving out the time to come and chat with me. I know schedules must be crazy busy over at Pepper right now.
I mean, we both know we were just talking behind the scenes, so you all know. Now I'm just going to make it all a little casual like here with your amazing intro. But we're both moms, so we know it's busy when you're working and parenting. It's wild and crazy.
It absolutely is. Can you give us a little bit of background, Stacey? So for our listeners that may not have heard of you or Pepper and what you guys do over there, take us back. Where did you start out? How did Pepper become a thing? And where are you now?
Also a wild and crazy story. So I've been a photographer for 9 years. And I feel like it's amazing. One of your last guests said they were a professional photographer for 20. So I feel like a beginner all of a sudden. But I was working full-time as a photographer, loving my life mostly, except for none of my friends knew what I looked like in person anymore. They only knew what I looked like on social media. So I went to outsource some of the tactics, like marketing tactics I had, and helping me run my business. I was looking for a VA, and I actually couldn't find something that I was like an agency. I found individuals, I found VAs that were could help me with like a little bit here, a little bit there, but not someone that really covered the scope. Or if they did, they were really corporate and I felt like they wouldn't understand, you know, our industry and that I'm a creative. So I asked around and people were feeling the same way I was. So I just decided to create what I was looking for, which is Pepper. So we're a marketing agency, a done-for-you agency and education for photographers.
Wow. And how did you find kind of going from photographer through to setting up Pepper and having this whole team around you?
It was a journey. Like there are definitely some ups and downs, but mostly just incredible. I was the luckiest person to hire like most incredible. We call each other the alpha females. So we're a bunch of alpha females that are working on the team. And everyone here is because they're so smart. They're so smart and they care so much about the work that we're doing. And everybody here also has a side hustle or is an entrepreneur of their own kind. So everyone understands what it's like. And so we get it.
Yeah.
And it's honestly been insane. But amazing. This is what I do full time now, is Pepper is my baby and my photography is kind of on the side as my creative fulfillment.
I was going to ask that actually. Are you still shooting? Are you? I mean, I would imagine Pepper takes up the majority of your time and more, I would think.
And more. But now we're at a really great place. Everything's just flowing really nicely. The systems internally is just incredible. So that part's great. I do miss shooting. I wish I could shoot more, and I get asked all the time still. So I get tempted quite often.
I'll bet. Yeah. It's like a little release, I guess, isn't it?
Exactly.
I have a question for you actually, which is totally kind of off plan from what we're going to talk about today. But as a marketing agency, do you find that you work with people all over the world? How do you kind of adjust? Because I was in the same position as you. I'm looking for somebody that I can outsource various elements of my business to as a photographer. And I'm finding, you know, someone can do this little bit and someone can do that little bit. But then I'm like, right, well, I need a Pepper in the UK. Mm-hmm.
Oh, we work with photographers all over Greenland.
This is what I mean. Like, so how do you find kind of being the other side of the globe, but having to adjust to, I guess things are different in every country, right? And, you know, photographers work in slightly different ways, or, you know, the demographics in each country are quite different. How do you adjust to that as a, you know, as the marketing solution for photographers?
Such an interesting question, because I feel like on the logistics side, I also have so many questions for you. Now I want to know more about you. And I feel like your listeners probably do. They're like, let's hear more about Sally. So, okay, first of all, okay, what kind of photographer are you?
I'm a wedding photographer.
Okay. Now, how long have you been shooting weddings?
A decade.
See, look at us. We're old.
I know. I do feel so old as well.
And how long have you been working for Studio Ninja?
Studio Ninja coming up for 4 years now.
And you're a mom of a 9-month-old.
Little Raven. Yeah, she's there. So it's like all the plates right now.
That's insane. So it doesn't matter like where you live or what demographic you shoot. Truly what we excel in, this is why we specialize in photographers, because I am a photographer. I know what it's like. Like I am my business. I'm not like a big corporation. You know, I'm not generic. I'm not like a room full of lawyers and I go by the law. Like it's very personal. So how we work with the photographers is that we really just truly get to know them. Like, what are your goals? What has been working for you already? What's not working for you? And then what tactics do you enjoy doing? What tactics do you want to hand off? Where are we going to like, where's that crossover going to be? We want to know what your capacity is. And then it just like nothing goes out without a strategy. This is the biggest thing. I see people just going out there and creating content to create content and trying to appease the algorithm and then absolutely hating their life. And we could go down this rabbit hole, but there are so many other ways to market your business. So we truly get to know you. We are deeply invested in you and your business and your why and who you're trying to reach. And then we have the tactics that we can customize to suit those things.
Yeah.
So we got you.
My pain point from that question comes because I hired somebody years ago now to look after a bit of back-end website SEO for me and try and kind of optimize my local areas and just do a little bit of zhuzhing in there to try and kind of boost things a little bit. And actually they made more harm than good because they obviously weren't, you know, from the UK, they were nowhere near where I was shooting. And they optimized my website for a load of places in the south of the country that I absolutely wouldn't have shopped at because it was like a 5-6 hour drive from me. So there was a lot of like having to undo all of that for me. And I'm like, well, you know, part of me thinks maybe that makes sense, you know, like he could have done his research a little better. And, you know,
yes, that's what the keyword research is for. That's wild to me. That never should happen.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's kind of given me, you know, that like little like, oh, like, you know, does the person I work with or does the person that helps me with my business have to be in this country, in my postcode, in, you know, in my county, which sounds crazy, right? Like, you know, it's when you think of the incredible people out there like yourselves that can look after all these things for you, but you're the other side of the world to me. So I think, and then I sit there and think, well, if I have that worry, like there's photographers out there all over that have that worry, right?
And you know, the thing is, it's okay to want someone local to you. There are absolutely benefits to having someone local, especially the type of tasks maybe they might be doing for you. Maybe they're doing some behind the scenes. Maybe it's more administrative and it really needs to be a closer working relationship. Mm-hmm. Like we don't do email management. You think that should be like the easy thing to hand off? That is the most personal. That is the most personal. Mm-hmm. And that really needs to be more of a personal assistant. Mm-hmm. And those can be virtual as well. They can be anywhere in the world. So it's okay to have that need. Like it's okay to want someone in the same country as you, but it's not necessary. And we've figured it out. It's no big deal for us.
That's why I ask, because you've totally figured it out.
We got you.
I love that. So, I mean, for our listeners that are sat here thinking, you know, what are we getting into today? What are the juicy bits? So we're going to be covering a bit of sales, a bit of kind of social media pain points for photographers out there. So let's start with the sales side of things. Like, what do you see the most? What are photographers struggling with nowadays? And how do you help them with that? Where do they start?
There's two main things that I see photographers struggling with when it comes to sales. And now specifically, I'm talking about once you get the inquiry, how do you turn that inquiry into a consult and that consult into a booking? Mm-hmm. So number one is that there's no structure whatsoever. Photographers are just winging it. They're like, oh, I tell them what I have and then they book me and then I send them my invoice and they give me money. Like it should be pretty straightforward. But the thing is, if you don't have a really clear structure, if you don't know your process inside and out, you're going to feel so uncomfortable. There's going to be like these sticky points where if you are unclear, it's going to come across unclear to your client or your potential client. And they're going to feel that. And they're like, oh, do I trust this person as much? The biggest thing with sales is really trust, is building trust with that potential client. And then the other thing is most photographers feel like like sales and just the word of me saying sales, I'm sure everyone right now are like 80% of you are like, ooh, cringe, gross. I hate it. I just want to shoot. Can people just hire me for my work and just pay me money? So it's not, I use the word sales because we all understand what that means, but really it's about problem solving. So your clients are coming to you because they have a particular problem, like they're getting married in a certain part of the world, maybe close to you. And they're looking for a photographer that understands their needs, that fits their style, that's going to, you know, meld with their energy on the day of, it's going to fit right into their friends and family. That is a problem that you are now solving. So if you think of it that way, that's a mindset shift and it's a whole different conversation. And it's no longer like this gross, cringy, salesy thing. You're not trying to sell someone on something they don't want.
Yeah, 100%. Well, let's get back to structure because I feel like absolutely, you know, so many of us start in the industry as photographers. We're out there because we want to be a photographer. We want to be creative. We want to be shooting. We don't necessarily sit there and think about how we're going to structure every element of our marketing for our business or the, you know, the inquiry point through to converting them through to a booking. So what are your tips for listeners that sat there and think, yeah, that's me?
I mean, I feel like, girlfriend, you have some things for this too, because Studio Ninja is like, would be such a key component. And a CRM is like, I don't know how people survive without one. I meet photographers that are 4 years in and they still have no idea about using a CRM.
Yeah.
Dude, this is going to save your life. It's going to make things so much better. But really, the first thing that I see is when people respond to inquiries, they are responding on Instagram, maybe on Facebook, maybe it's a text message, maybe it's an email. And we're just like randomly replying to people all over the place and like trying to react and keep up to all those different types of touch points. Mm-hmm. When really the first thing you need to do is funnel them all into one place. Mm-hmm. Because trying to keep track of all of those inquiries and where they are in your sales funnel, maybe we got to come up with a better term for that, where they are in your process, your problem solving process, then like it's just going to make things so much harder for you. You're not going to be able to provide the same level of service if you don't have a really clear process. So what I recommend is if you have a website, really have a contact form, direct everybody to your contact form. No matter how they inquire with you, be like, I love that you inquired. I'm so excited. If you fill up my contact form, it gathers everything that I need and it keeps me organized so I can provide the best service possible for you. And it is okay to have that process. No one's going to be offended. In fact, they're probably going to respect you, which is a really great way to start a business relationship, is to have those healthy, strong boundaries, but you're still being a great service provider. So they come through the contact form. Now that contact form, my friend, is not about you. It is about them. You want to get to know them and their needs as much as possible. You can make it fun and personal, so it's on brand. So you're also connecting with the right people. When they fill out that form, they're like, oh yeah, this is already the right person. Like Sally is already like definitely the energy and the vibe that I want. And like, or like this little bit of humor there. Perfect. So they fill out the contact form. It prepares you for that consult in the best way possible. So you can do your research. Like, who are these people? What are their needs? How can I best prepare for this? And it really just sets you up for success. So they come through that. Now, if you're using a CRM, that means they're automatically populated into your system. So you don't have to fill that out later. And then you can send them their invoices and contracts and further questionnaires all in the same place. Golden. You're going to want to do that. If you're using Excel, this is your sign to stop. No more Excel, no more pen and paper. So that's what
methods, right?
Right? Yeah. And like, so far, I've talked about just the very beginning for them, just for the inquiry. And we haven't even talked about the response yet. But I would love to hear what you think, because I know you guys are experts over there too.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, Studio Ninja is a problem-solving mechanism in itself for so many photographers out here, right? So I think it provides photographers with a solution that means that they don't have to manage that side of their business at all anymore. That's all taken care for them. You know, like we were talking about outsourcing just before, you know, you're outsourcing your marketing, you're outsourcing different points in your business that you think just take up too much of your time and that you don't really know what to do with them and have the energy to spend on them. So not just Studio Ninja, but any CRM out there, right? Mm-hmm. You know, it's not all, you know, Studio Ninja is one of many. And the point of it is that it systemizes, it organizes it, you know, makes everything in your life easier so that you don't have to be in your business all of the time. You can work on other things.
Mm-hmm. I'm just going to take a little sip here.
No, you're all good. Absolutely. Take a sip.
I love that you're all still here with us if you've been listening all the way through with my rocky, very early morning Stacey start. So I love that you're still here with us because now we're just getting into it.
100%. Absolutely. So once they've got that kind of structure, Stacey, where do we go from there? You know, we've got a framework, if you like. We've got an idea of the journey that we need to take our customers through from the point of, you know, them even before inquiring, I guess, you know, building that idea of who we are as a business, who we are as a person. Then we've got the framework of where the journey we take them through from the point of inquiry. What comes next?
There's a couple of really cool things that you've kind of touched on there. So if they're on social media, if that's how they found you, obviously it's a really great idea to follow them back and engage with some of their content, show interest in who they are and their lives. That can really stand out instead of just sending your information. Like the inquiry comes through and you're just sending a generic, like, I'm stoked or I'm excited you've inquired with me. Here's my pricing and packaging. Take a look. Let me know if you have any questions. And like, just very like standard. If they've inquired with three other photographers, they're all saying the same thing. Well, hopefully not, but very commonly, yes, that is what's happening. So you really want to stand out. You want to connect right from the get-go. Mm-hmm. So things you can do is, you know, use a software like Loom and create a video and embed that in your email and, you know, let them see your face, let them hear your voice saying their name. That's already a deeper connection than just a generic, like, hey, Jane and John. Why do we always use those names, by the way? Hey, Jane and John, like, like, let them feel your energy. Let them feel connected to you. They're going to maybe in the back of their mind wonder, like, have we met before? Like, are we, like, do we, have we, you know, like, it's already that, oh, like, I'm already closer to this person than the next photographer that just sends the email. And the other thing is, don't send your entire package right away. That completely cuts off the communication of talking about truly their needs, being able to customize it based on what they need, and for them to understand the value. Because a lot of people, they have no idea the value of what it is that you're offering. They just see the number. They don't know if that's high. They don't know if it's low. They just are confused. And then they, bye-bye. They're gone. Like, you can say something like, a lot of people start at this price with me, or like, this is kind of an average. If you really feel deeply, that's important to you. But I actually recommend that you get them into a consult first, discuss their needs, ask them questions, actually listen, ask clarifying questions, and like, then provide them with the solution, which are your packages. So another thing you can do also on social media, and I think this is a common thing now that we've all heard, which is a fantastic idea if you're not doing it already, is just sending them a DM, whether it's a voice or a video, another casual way to connect with someone. So you've replied to their consult, you've done something above and beyond the generic email and attaching your PDF, which you are no longer doing after listening to this podcast. And then you need to follow up. Most likely, they will not book right away. And if it's over Zoom or if it's like a virtual or even a phone call, meeting, a consult, you should include something like Calendly or Acuity, which is a booking link. So there's not this back and forth, we're interested in booking, when's a good time to chat with you? We're interested in booking a consult, when's a good time to chat with you? The more back and forth and the more confusion, it's harder to book with you. They just won't. Life is busy. They won't do it. They'll just ghost. That's where a lot of people ghost. So include that link. Or even if it's in person, you can even have an in-person link. You're like, these are my top favorite spots for meeting, but let me know what works for you. But these are my available times. Pick whatever works best for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Then, it kind of opens up that the choice is all theirs then. And they almost feel like, you know, you were already prepared for all of this and that all they have to do is just click a date, a time, and it's done.
And it's done. And then make the consult fun. When you do meet with them, if it's in person, especially, like, pick somewhere cool. Like, I used to have, I mean, somewhere cool is subjective. I used to have this beautiful studio and it was very high end, but the couples that I wanted to work with when I was shooting weddings full time were the ones that wanted to have a beer with me and hang and make inappropriate jokes. I'm like, okay, so they're not meeting at my studio because it doesn't give off the same vibe as who I actually am. I'm like, let's just meet at a pub around the corner. And my couples love that. Immediately, they're like, we're connecting on something personal. She has the same energy as us. This is going to be already a great time, even from the beginning, from the consult. They're enjoying their time with me, which is what I want. The most important thing is for people to enjoy their time, whether it's planning of their wedding or the wedding day itself. So that's one of my biggest values. So yeah, you want to provide that from the beginning.
Yeah, 100%. I think building that relationship is part of the key, isn't it? And you mentioned Loom videos there, Stacey. So I'm going to swing back to that a little bit, because I know I've seen in the industry, it's not something I've done myself, which, bad Sally, do you know what holds me back?
Is right.
I'm not always like dressed, hair done, makeup done every day. And I would feel so uncomfortable sending a Loom video to a couple if they inquired at a point where I was, you know, mum bun on top, probably some baby sick down the shoulder, and it's all going on. And that's literally the reason I haven't done it, because I'm like, well, what if my life is just in uproar that day and I can't do that video, or that means to do that video, I have to go, I have to shower, do my hair, put my makeup on and make myself look how I want to show up for my couples to be able to communicate with them in that way. So what would you say to me and to the couple, you know, the other photographers out there that are thinking, yeah, that, you know, I can't do that?
Why do you think you need to do that? Do you feel like your couples care? Do you feel like that's an important part of what they're looking for in a photographer? Does she have perfect makeup? Is that, maybe it is. Maybe you have clients who are like, they highly value, you know, a very polished experience, you know, appearance. There we go. A polished appearance.
Yeah.
That should be a tongue twister. Like if it is, then okay, I totally understand that. And then you know what? That's just maybe an effort you're going to have to do, like within 24 hours or 48 hours or whatever expectation you've maybe set in your consult form that when you're going to get back to them, which is also a great idea, then you like, this is a part of my business. I need to take the 15 minutes to do the mom bun still. And like, that can still be adorable, like throw on some lipstick. And I mean, I see these gorgeous lashes on you. I feel like you're going to be perfect. I don't think you need to go full out and go glam.
The lashes is the bit that makes me look human on a day where I've got nothing else.
Man, I could use some of those. Stacey needs that. But otherwise, people want to connect with you in a real way. Like you're photographing and documenting a very intimate time in their life. And so it's okay for them to see behind the scenes and who you are for real as a person and whatever that looks like. And maybe your ideal client, and this is just maybe, there's something to think about. Maybe your ideal client really values that. Maybe the bride's like, great, I'm glad my photographer is not hot, more hot than I am. You know, like I need to be the hottest one on my wedding day. I need to be the most gorgeous. Like you, my friend, are beautiful. But you know, even when I was shooting boudoir full time, that's something that I thought about. Like, I didn't want to show up to a boudoir session looking like all done up, because that is what they are there for. They are the ones to be the star. I'm not.
Yeah. I guess it's letting go of that. Like, there's a little bit of like self something going on there that, you know, it makes you kind of feel a certain way, that you have to look a certain way, or, you know, you have to be all dressed up to be able to do business and deal with your clients in that way, you know, in the form of video. You know, I guess a loophole around that, like you said, you know, a voice note, something like that is also personal, but I do think that video goes the extra way, doesn't it?
Yeah. And we're all photographers. Like right now you have excellent lighting on your face. It's very pretty. You have a clean background. And even if you just did that, if you focused on just everything else being nice and clean and polished and great light, then you're set.
Yeah. I like that. Maybe it's 2023, it's time for a change.
And it's post-COVID. It's COVID when like you were in calls and people had their children climbing on their back like monkeys and they were corporate whatevers. And
yeah, I vividly remember it going viral that there was somebody in the UK government that was doing a Zoom call with his peers or a colleague. And his little girl coming into the room and she was climbing on him. And his nanny literally army crawled across the floor thinking she wasn't in view to get the child out. And you could see her completely. And yeah, I should probably refresh myself on that every now and again.
it's amazing. I remember one where a guy was peeing and he had this video off, but his audio was on and he had to reply and there was just peeing in the background. Like, okay, now we've all gotten too comfortable.
Yeah, absolutely. COVID just allowed us to kind of, life just went on behind us as if nothing else was happening, didn't it?
Exactly.
So moving on to the social media side of things then, Stacey, you know, we've kind of covered that sales process and the pain points there. I mean, social media is a whole other pain point entirely, isn't it, for photographers, or it can be. Obviously not if you've got someone like Pepper on your side. But I mean, what let's start from the basics. What do photographers struggle with most? What are you seeing are the pain points the most for photographers when it comes to their social media?
This is the thing I talk to photographers about the most, and it's actually a very sensitive, extremely emotional topic. Photographers give so much of themselves in the work that they do into the time that they give their clients. To have to do it again on social and to not be rewarded is the recipe for burnout. It is exhausting. It is defeating. It makes you feel like crap, like le poo-poo. I was going to use other words, but I'm not sure if we're allowed. But yeah, it is, yeah. Okay, it's going to make you feel like shit. Like it is a thing that photographers really, truly have the love-hate. You know, I think it's also interesting because photographers were so used to that positive affirmation, the verbal affirmation. We're like, oh, we love our photos. We look so good. You were amazing. We're like, yes, yes, yes. It's like partly why we do this because it feels so good. We need that. Like this is like a part of who we are. Okay. Like, but on social, when you don't get it, yeah, it can be very defeating and it's challenging. The algorithm is always changing. So you feel like, okay, like, what am I doing? What is my job? I could be a full-time content creator and then my social media will be amazing, but I'm also a full-time photographer. Oh, and a full-time parent and full-time other things and, you know, daughter, like all friend, all, you know, X, Y, Z. But so my recommendation for social is to, you need to separate it from your self-value. It needs to not be a part of, am I a good person? Do people care about me? Do I have value as a photographer? Do I have value as a person? You need to separate that now. Yeah, it is a marketing tactic. It's a really good one when it's used well, but it's not the only one. And it does not define who you are.
It's the big one as well, isn't it? You know, it's the everyone thinks that the you know, the primary marketing ploy has to be Instagram or Facebook. You know, they're the big dogs. They're the ones that a lot of people would suggest you have to be there. You have to be on them. So I think it's an important point to, you know, to just say, actually, no, you don't. And if you are, like you say, you know, there needs to be a degree of separation a little bit. Like I know so many photographers that will sit there and they'll have a post scheduled to go out, or they'll post something organically and they'll sit and they'll watch the engagement and they'll watch the likes and they'll watch the comment. And if they don't flow as quickly as they want them to, they're not happy. You know, they're devastated. They think, well, I'm shit. I've done a crap job. That image wasn't good enough. You know, there's all the things, rather than, you know, perhaps the algorithm just wasn't in your favor that day.
There's a couple different things. I agree with you. Definitely, it might not, like, depend. You could post the same photo an hour later and it would blow up. Like there are some things with social that you can't control, but social media is supposed to be social. It's supposed to be fun. So if you are going to do it, obviously you want to do it so you're, you know, being effective and efficient with your time and have fun with it. Like let's stop caring how perfect our feed is and how perfect we look in our stories, right? Because lots of times we don't. I just put it out there. I'm like, it doesn't matter. People, this is who I am. And I feel like if we're doing that, the more consistent we're going to be in utilizing that marketing tactic, and then the more successful you will be. Also, if you post something and you're sitting there waiting and you're agonizing over it for even 20 minutes, how is that helping you? Ask yourself, is this behavior helping me? Is it helping me as a person? Is it helping my business? In the last 20 minutes, what positive has happened here? Yeah. Nothing positive has happened. So then you ask yourself, why am I doing it? Maybe you don't do that anymore. Maybe you focus on your client relationships and your vendor relationships and your word of mouth, which is the number one, since the beginning of time, the number one marketing tactic. And it still is. Statistically, that's the number one.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's a million other ways to market other than social media.
Yes. And we worked with a photographer, very like beautiful work. Her social was very nice. It was pretty. But her number one lead gen was florists.
Wow, really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Ah, see, I can tell your brain's sparking. It's like, what can I be doing with florists? And what kind of campaigns maybe could I do, or collaborations could I do? And now all of a sudden that's exciting and fun. And you know what? That's what's going to move your business forward.
Yeah. And that's why we all started it, right? You know, you don't want to, nobody ever started a business or to become an entrepreneur to be sat there miserable, but you did it because you wanted to make a change in life and have more time for you and less time for work and not be contracted to the 9 to 5 and answering to somebody else. But then we all so easily forget it when we're in it.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So, and we all know, like on the logistic side of social media, video is king, queen, it is the monarch. So you really do, if you are going to be using it, if you're using it fully, like definitely get on the stories, try and create some reels. Honestly, once you get started, and I resisted so hard too. I was one of those. Like once you get started, you do have a lot of fun. And then just don't worry about being perfect.
Your reels are great. I watch them all the time. Like if they pop up on my feed, I'll make a point of going and watching them because I always find myself smiling during them. I love them.
Oh, because I'm just a giant nerd.
No, but you echo the exact advice. You're making them fun. You know, you don't take it all too seriously. There's a lot of people where you can tell they're very scripted, they're very rehearsed, they're very, you know, they have to be per second perfect. And I think the most part, when people just enjoy them, like you say, and then enjoy what you're putting out there, that's when people resonate with it.
And then you'll do more of it and it'll help you even more.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if you, right? It does work. Like it can be that simple. Mm-hmm. So now that's to say, don't just rely on social media for marketing your business. If you just rely on social and you are treating it more like for fun and you're not like crazy serious about it and crazy consistent, then you really do need to do other tactics like SEO, which is one you mentioned. Excellent tactic. A lot of photographers don't utilize it. So you're going to be ahead of most if you really are. Here's an easy win. Look at getting a Google Business Profile if you haven't already and keeping that optimized and updated. Mm-hmm. So that's something. Actually, we're going to be putting out a course separately just for that. So if you want to take that and you don't know how to do it, it's going to be like $37. It'll be very cheap. We just want you to be successful. Yeah. But anyways, it's an easy win. You got to do that. And it'll really help your business and your word of mouth.
Yeah, 100%. I think marketing becomes overwhelmed, doesn't it? I think when you're in it and you feel like you're drowning in it and you feel like you don't know which direction to go in, there's so many options when it comes to marketing any business. But then, you know, a creative business, a photography business, there's so many ways that you can go and avenues that you can go down with your marketing that sometimes you just kind of lose where you even need to go and what you need to do.
People get paralyzed and overwhelmed very quickly. And people just default, like you said, default to social media because that's what we know. That's where we feel mostly comfortable. And the rest, I mean, just the words SEO, I'm sure we just lost half of our listeners because they heard those words. Like SEO, no, I'm out. Goodbye. Yeah, this is not for me. This is like a different language that I have no idea what it means. So yeah, don't be afraid to step out of your comfort zone there a little bit.
So as a marketing agency then, Stacey, as somebody who does this day in, day out, what would be your go-to advice for somebody that feels like they're stuck, that feels like they're drowning, they don't really know what avenue to go down first, they don't really know where to start? What's your advice? How can they structure and put a plan together?
I think it goes back a little bit further than even marketing. So what I find when I talk to photographers that are really feeling those things, it's maybe they're a bit newer and they have really not a clear idea of exactly what it is that they're offering and how do they stand out from the rest of the photographers out there? And then how do they engage with their potential clients in a way that is on brand for them because they don't know what's on brand for them? So I think it goes back a little bit further. So if you're newer, that's something to really look at. And then the other ones I see where people have been in business a long time, got really comfortable relying on their word of mouth, but then they didn't do anything to nurture that. They were just they were just receiving because things were going really well for them. And then maybe the other marketing tactics they weren't doing, or they just like go by the wayside. And then they're in this place where it's nothing's happening. All of a sudden my business is slowed down and I don't know what's happened. 2 years ago, it's like the best year of maybe not two because it was COVID. Maybe 2019. 2019 was like the best year. And of course, COVID's a thing. But so those photographers, again, I'm like, okay, so maybe you're confident in your work and you're confident in like who you are as a photographer. But what are you offering that's exciting? How are you connecting with people? Like, have you just gotten lazy? Have you just kind of like people just come to you and you're not like working for it? Maybe people feel that energy too. Like, does this person care? Like, are they interested in me or are they just kind of like, I don't know, like you just don't have the same kind of energy. Like I want someone that's very excited to work with me and provide the service that I'm looking for. And if someone's just kind of, I don't know, just kind of like apathetic. People can feel that as well.
Yeah.
But there's other things to look at than just marketing tactics.
I feel like, especially, I mean, I got married in 2019. Literally, we just snuck it in before COVID happened, although we didn't realize COVID was a thing at the time. And I remember as a bride going out and looking for my suppliers, I wanted someone to be excited about my day as a bride, but also as a supplier myself. Like, I wanted to see the experience that other people in my industry were offering. And a lot of the time, I make a point of going to suppliers for any part of my wedding that A, I didn't know. So they would have no correlation that I was a wedding photographer myself. And I think part of that was because I didn't necessarily want them to treat me any differently because I was in the industry. I wanted to see what their client experience
Interesting.
Was.
Ooh, I love it.
And also on the real innocent side of things, you know, I just wanted to be a bride. I didn't want to be a photographer because that's what I'm always known as. I wanted to be the girl that was getting married. And I wanted to feel that excitement from my suppliers, you know, when you receive that first email back from them or you chat with them. I remember vividly chatting with who ended up being my videographers for the day, and they did our film. And they were so hyped and they were so excited and they were asking all the good questions and genuinely seemed like they could not wait to shoot my wedding. It was that match in the energy, I think, that is the key. You know, when you're coming to somebody for a service, you want to feel like they're part of the experience and that they're excited about being part of your day.
Exactly. Oh, I feel like that's a whole I love it. I love it so much because it's so interesting because as an entrepreneur, as a business owner, how we feel about ourselves and how we view ourselves and our own self-identity and where we're at in our business and what we're struggling with is so closely tied. And marketing tactics, they're there as tools and they don't own you. You get to decide how you work with them.
That's I feel like we need to let that sit.
Yeah.
Marketing tactics do not own you, period.
They don't. You get to decide how you work with them based on your capacity, your goals, and all that good stuff.
Yeah, but you know, it's so funny that you say that because I think a lot of the time photographers do feel like, you know, they're almost owned by the marketing tactics that you use. Social media, especially, you know, we're in this media-driven world where everything's all about Instagram, TikTok, all the different platforms that are out there, and that we have to be conforming and feeding to them and doing all the things all the time. And that alone is exhausting, let alone trying to run a business and do life on top.
Exactly. You know what's interesting? Because people will say, because that is the truth, because it is what you have to do to be successful. Trust us, my friend. You do not have to. There are people that do and are very successful. We see that. And then we think we have to be like that. That's why we say like, it's true because we see it, but it's true for them. And it's possible for you if that's how you want to operate your business, if that's how you want to market. And if you love that, if that's how you want to, then go for it. Be wild and free, my friend. But if it's not for you, then you don't have to either.
Yeah.
It's absolutely really that simple.
If you could start your career all over again, Stacey, is there anything that you would do differently with the knowledge that you have now if you take yourself back?
You know what's funny? That's such a great question. Let me think about it a little bit because I want to have something actually of value to share. But my first workshop I ever took, it was within the first 6 months of picking up my camera in a professional way. I took a business and marketing workshop. So I knew right from the very beginning, I'm like, I want to have really good structure and I want to know how to operate my business. So I feel like I know what I'm doing because I did not know what I was doing.
Nobody does when they start out though, right? Like I think we all think like we're in a place where I'm like, I know what I'm doing. I can run a business. I can be a photographer. I can do the things.
Yeah.
You get that. It's a whole different ballgame.
I feel like you are actually something it was more on the creative side for me. I wish I had gone my own way quicker. Like it took me probably 3 years in to be like, why am I shooting like this? I'm shooting in a very generic, like this is what a wedding photographer does. This is like the types of images they create. And this is a boudoir photographer. Wow, sound like I was about to say something else. And this is how they shoot. And I was very clearly in those boxes creating the same images over and over again. So it did take me 3 years in And maybe that's normal. Like you get comfortable and then you're like, okay, these are my safe shots, which I know like people are paying for. And then you start to be more creative. I wish I had done that sooner. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I probably would have moved ahead quicker in my business if I had, because mm-hmm. it would have set me apart a lot faster than from the other photographers doing the same thing.
Yeah,
absolutely. So just be a little bolder.
I love that. And if you could give one golden nugget takeaway, the big thing from today that you feel like if our listeners take away nothing other than this one thing, what would that one thing be?
Definitely when we talked about separating your value as a person and as a photographer, you got to separate that from your social media and your social media output, and the response that you get on social is not indicative of like how awesome you are as a person or a photographer.
Yeah, 100%. If our listeners would like to get in touch with you, have a look at what Pepper can do for them, have a look at the courses and education that you offer, how can they do all these things?
They can go to our website, www.meetpepper.ca, and our Instagram at meet.pepper. And we're on TikTok. I'm not on TikTok. That's a whole other story, but our team is, and you can find them there as well.
You absolutely should be on TikTok with these reels that are coming out, Stacey.
Oh, man. You know what? We'll have to talk about that another time. That's a whole other thing.
Well, it's been such a pleasure. I'm so, so glad that we got to have this catch up, and you've literally given your heart and soul and given all the information that you possibly could. So thank you so much for feeding into our wonderful little podcast in the way that you have done.
Oh, and same. You're amazing. Thank you so much for having me, Sally.
It's a pleasure. Hopefully I'll catch you soon. Thanks, Stacey.
You know it.
Bye. Okay, guys, that's everything from me today. Thank you so much again for Stacey to taking the time out of her busy schedule to come and chat with us here on NinjaCast. If you'd like to see the show notes, you can head to www.studioninja.co/episode109. As always, please don't forget to rate us on the podcast platform that you're listening on. A little bit of love goes a very long way. I'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to this episode of NinjaCast, brought to you by Studio Ninja. Beautifully designed and super easy to use, Studio Ninja will help you manage your leads, clients, shoots, invoices, contracts, workflows, and so much more. To learn more or start your 30-day free trial, go to www.studioninja.co.